Today, let us have a look at one of Padre Pio's most impressive miracles. So what was it? Well, no one even saw this miracle happen, and it did not even result in a cure. Hello, friends of Following Padre Pio. I am Edward Urban, and on this channel, Following Padre Pio, we take a glimpse into the supernatural life of Padre Pio, the Capuchin monk, mystic, and miracle worker. We offer you a series of short stories, so please do stay tuned to this channel, and we hope that you will be amazed to find out what Padre Pio's intercession can do for you or for a loved one. So we begin by pointing out this fact that on the 17th of June, and this is in 1923, an order was given that Padre Pio was no longer to celebrate Mass in public, and that letters that he had received were no longer to be responded to. His Mass was suppressed, and he was allowed no dealings with the public, basically. Padre Pio, in a way, was cancelled, but God prevailed. Our story begins with this fellow, Giacomo Gaglioni, who was the firstborn son of the Adelisian family. And he was from a noble family, from Caserta. Now, Giacomo had everything that life could offer. He was rich, he was charming, he was cheerful, and he was the dream of every girl of his age. What more could a person ask for in life? He had it. And then something happened in 1912, and Giacomo was just 16 years of age at this stage. Something completely unexpected. His life took a turn. Initially, he just felt pain in the heels of his left foot. Doesn't sound like a big deal, a little bit of pain in the foot. But shortly thereafter, the joints started to swell and his feet as well. And what turned out, in a few weeks, Giacomo lay paralyzed in his bed. Someone even had to hand feed him, couldn't do anything for himself. This is just in a matter of a few weeks. Of course, the family, they all consulted the very best specialists and physicians, and they commenced treatments of hot baths and little operations and things, but it seemed it was all in vain. Nothing helped. However, Giacomo did not give up. He had a real love for life, and he wanted to live life to the full at any cost. And then, at the age of 19, he fell in love with a cousin who also lived in the same palace as him. And every day he was taken to his aunt's apartment, there to spend a few hours with the girl he had grown so fond of. And together they made plans for their wedding, with the hope that Giacomo would soon be better. He showered her with gifts, with rings and necklaces and bracelets of gold. She had become the very reason for Giacomo to carry on. But as we can see, all his hopes were pinned in her, in a person. So with her at his side, he even forgot that he was ill. Obviously, the endorphins were working. At first, the families, of course, they let the romance take its course. They were happy to see this may help Giacomo. But at a certain point, his aunt realized that this sickness was actually not going to go away. It was not curable. And then she came to her senses. So we can see the sickness had no hope of cure. She did not want her daughter forever tied to someone who was paralyzed, which I guess is understandable. And she intervened. And the aunt insisted that they call off their wedding and the relationship in its entirety. So this was the difficult truth they all had to somehow come to grips with. You can imagine when Giacomo heard this news, he was furious. He went berserk. So much so that in his desperation, he picked up a pair of scissors and even attempted to take his own life. And then after that, he fell into such a state of depression and despair that they had to have people watching him night and day around the clock to make sure he didn't harm himself. And Giacomo barely ate. He was cursing the very essence or the reason for his existence. It looks like he was giving up. Is almost defeated. It reached this point where he just did not want to continue living, and people tried to encourage him, but he replied, What is the point of living if I am forbidden to love she who is the very meaning of my life? He continued, Giacomo continued in this very unfortunate state for another 7 years, or for 7 years until 1919. And at that stage, he was 23. And then by chance, he came across an article about Padre Pio. And he was particularly interested to see that Padre Pio's hands seemed to be the source of so many healings. So suddenly out of this, some hope started to well up again. Hope started to return to his heart. And he said, I would like to go to Padre Pio. This is what he told his relatives. He really wanted to go and see Padre Pio now. And he was so enthusiastic about this. And acting in the absolute certainty of receiving the cure now, he spoke to his cousin again, and they continued their plans for a wedding. This enthusiasm, however, unsettled the parents. And they were worried, what if he does not receive the grace? What then? He's going to fall into an even worse situation, an even worse state of despair, because now the one hope has just been removed totally. Because of this, they even tried to dissuade Giacomo from going to San Giovanni Rotondo. Giacomo prevailed, and the journey to San Giovanni Rotondo happened. It was not easy, but eventually he got to meet Padre Pio and to speak to Padre Pio. And this is how Giacomo recalls it. These are his words. He said, after confession, Padre Pio stared at me with these deep, mysterious eyes without saying anything. But his innocent, childlike smile remains forever imprinted in my heart. So now, at other times, Padre Pio would have given people words of hope. But this time, there was silence. That he had been waiting so long for a cure of this dreaded disease. But something else happened. Suddenly, Giacomo found that he no longer wanted to be cured. That sounds very curious. Anyone in this situation would want to be cured. So what had happened? There was a change in his heart, in his mind, and in his attitude. How did it happen? When he saw Padre Pio with the deep signs of Jesus' suffering, that is the stigmata in his hands, he started to discover the meaning of the suffering in his own life. So, in fact, he had been introduced to the mystery of the value that can be found in suffering. Giacomo felt called to a gigantic spiritual task. This all became apparent to him. He felt called to this spiritual task, and it's a very strange one, to suffer with in order to participate in the work of salvation as his most direct way. So though Christ has done everything in a sense for us, we can participate with him. And this was his special calling. So he had found this calling, and now things started to make sense to him. Like this, he arrived back at the house, transformed inside, but there's no obvious cure on the outside. At first, of course, the family were concerned, very concerned, because they saw that he had not received the grace of the healing. But after a little while, they started to notice that he was not the same. Giacomo had changed. Something had happened, a subtle internal change. And he was now apparently as cheerful as he had ever been, even before he got the disease. So he had been through the depths of depression and despair. And now he had just bounced back as happy as he had ever been after his visit to Padre Pio. And he laughed, and he joked, and his face shone with an unusual joy. So there's been a spiritual change in his life, and that's his soul is connected directly to the spiritual change, and that's what's happened here. His encounter with Padre Pio had ignited a new spark of mission within his life. He now had a mission, a meaning, that of accepting these sufferings as a means of foregaining the salvation for his brothers and sisters, for others. So what a contradiction this looks like. He's happy, and yet he has no health, and he's been called to suffer. What a contradiction, but that's part of Christianity. How can we understand it? And then from then on, he devoted his whole life, his entire existence, to the sick, to showing them, to showing other sick people like him, the value and the worth in sufferings. Another interesting coincidence is that for 50 years, Padre Pio bore the stigmata of Christ on his own body. And likewise, for 50 years, Giacomo lay stretched out on his iron bed frame, in bed, his iron cross. And now listen to this. Giacomo founded his apostolate of suffering. So it's actually an apostolate, a mission he undertook. A movement that brought people together with physical sickness and suffering. He now sought them out and he was bringing them together and he was trying to convey to them his extraordinary ideals. These are the spiritual ideals that there is value, there can be value in our sufferings. What he revealed to them was that through and in the mystical body of Christ, which of course is the church, we're all part of the mystical body, they can, in fact, these sick people can, in fact, become important movers in history and real saviors of humanity. So what a mission. Giacomo represents one of the most incredible miracles of Padre Pio, with whom he would remain connected for the rest of his life. So there's always connection between the two now. It took one confession and one look from Padre Pio, and it was a connection for life. How often, we may ask, did Giacomo not perceive the unmistakable mystical scent of his friend near his bed? Or did he even see him standing right there next to him? These are unanswered questions, but it seems possible and probably quite likely. And then the story goes even further. Many people sought out Giacomo with questions and they wanted his advice now. Become a leader in this field. Strange, but he did. He could only move his hands, no other part of his body. And he used them to comfort and to instruct people. And with the gifts he had, he wrote over 3,500 letters, or on average, 3,500 letters to sick people, anyone who needed his encouragement. This was his new mission. That's over 10 letters a day. He had turned his tragedy into something good. Not only that, but in addition, he also wrote articles for magazines. And he organized trips and accompanied sick people, pilgrims, to Lourdes and to Loreto and to St. Giovanni Rotondo. He must have been carried there on his stretcher and he went there with the sick. He wasn't going to let them down. Now, shortly before his death, he received this telegram from his holy friend Padre Pio. And these words were written on the telegram. With Jesus on the cross, with Jesus in holy paradise. That's how Padre Pio saw him. And also, please do enroll your Mass intentions for next Friday's Mass, dedicated for your intentions and for Padre Pio's intentions. And we ask you do continue watching. We have our most popular videos, others selected specially for you. Oh.